It's time to get your news on. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.
It is the WIA National News. It's for week commencing May 25, 2025. And this week, joining us, the usual bunch of suspects, VK2LAW, VK4FUQ and VK3GTV, and editor of WIA journal AR magazine, Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH. But wait, there's more, much, much more, in this edition of news from your Wireless Institute of Australia. I'm Editor Graham, VK4BB.
We are VK1WIA. What else?
Now, before we get into this week's news, a look at the past with VK3ABP.
Thanks, Graham. This is Peter Rice, VK3ABP. Often significant DX amateur radio transmissions occur due to ephemeral atmospheric conditions, but it's not often significance is due to them being broadcast from an ephemeral salt lake. Yet, on the 14th of May 2025, there was a 50th anniversary of just that, when my dad, Bill Rice, VK3ABP, now Silent Key, broadcast maritime mobile from a Red Baron catamaran under sail on Katy Thunder, Lake Eyre North in 1975 on Arabana Country in northern South Australia. It's sacred country. And with permission granted by Arabana elders in 2008, where my Silent Key dad's ashes remain. Lake Eyre is currently receiving water from recent major flooding in northern Australia, but still may not fill to match the volume of water which was there in 1975. We can hope, despite restrictions on sailing and even going near the lake now. Let Bill tell you more from a QSO with Snow Campbell, VK3MR, also now Silent Key, in Melbourne, recorded on 14th of May 1975, while sailing on Lake Eyre. You can hear water splashing against the hulls.
Yeah, Roger Snow, VK3 Mike Roger in Melbourne, VK3 Alpha Bravo Papa, VK3 Abel Baker Peter, Maritime Mobile 5 on Lake Eyre, returning. All OK, Snow, your signal's readability 5, strength 9. We are underway, under sail, in Madigan Gulf, in the southeast corner of Lake Eyre at the present time. We have at least 10 feet of water underneath us, probably more than 10 feet of water underneath us, and making about 5 knots very, very nicely. Running about 50 watts peak, possibly not even that, using the mast off the boat as the antenna through a transmatch, and it's about a 20-foot mast, and using the lake water as a ground through a small ground electrode under one of the hulls. So that's the story, Snow. Name here is Bill, Bravo, India, Lima, Lima. Bill is the name, and wonder how you copy there in Melbourne. VK3MR, VK3ABP, Maritime Mobile 5, Lake Eyre.
Video of that excerpt can be seen in a short film called On Air, EYRE, made at the time by Bill and Tim Robinson, VK3YBP, which, just over a fortnight ago, was accepted into the Australian National Film and Sound Archive. Tim Robinson has recently indicated to me that the film may also possibly be uploaded to the Digital Library of Amateur Radio Communications. It's sure not often that telephony of amateur radio communications has heard 50 years since first broadcast, let alone any from a boat once sailing on what is still mostly, even now, normally a dry salt lake clay pan. For WIA National News, I am Peter Rice, VK3ABP. Back to you, Graham.
Thanks, Peter. Now, in just a moment, this week's news to hand.
Who listens to radio?
Hi, I'm Graham, VK3GRK in sunny Bendigo.
I'm David, VK4 Delta November.
I'm Giles, VK5 Golf Kilo.
Brad Peters, VK6 BAP.
Hello, this is Luke, VK3 Hotel Juliet.
Steve, VK4 SJH.
Good morning all, including those mad members out on lookouts and ridges, enjoying a microwave activity day. This is Editor-in-Chief of Amateur Radio Magazine, Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH, coming to you from Southport in Queensland, down in the hollow beside Loders Creek. Make yourself comfortable. I have some news. Not mad news, or sad news, or even bad news. Here it is. Issue number 3 of Amateur Radio Magazine rolled off the press at Bairnsdale last Wednesday. on time and as budgeted. Next week, the magazine will leap into letterboxes, post office boxes and numerous newsagents across the country, plus a few landing overseas. The theme for this issue is one that we have not published previously, called Simplicities and Complexities. So, it's a collection of articles on simple subjects, along with some on complex matters, generally unrelated. But wait, isn't that something you do every issue, I can hear you asking? Well, yes, but this time only more so. Our issue themes mean that we collect or curate a series of articles themed around a related topic. Antennas and propagation, DIY, hacks and hints, portable pursuits, etc. Which is what makes this issue different. It's the opposite of a curated theme. So, what have we got? I recall a new member asking me at a club meeting just what are auroras? So, we have a feature article on the subject titled Auroras, a Tour for Tyros. Naturally, the cover features a dramatic auroral photo. With the solar cycle peak now at hand, people across the southern regions in the southern states, and particularly in Tasmania, have often been treated to aurora light shows. They affect radio propagation on HF, while some amateurs exploit them for auroral scatter VHF contacts. Written for a general audience, our article answers the questions. What are they, and why do they come in different shapes and colours? That's one for you, Colin. Elsewhere, we have a charming little build-it-yourself project, a simple shortwave receiver by Dale Hughes, VK1DSH. It's based on a design originally published in 1967, but not actually a copy. And yes, it uses a couple of valves. Hamfest sailor swap sections are always great sources of components to suit this project, not to mention the back shed or perhaps the attic. Moving on to complexities, we have another article from George Galanis, VK3EIP. Readers will remember him from his articles last year titled On Lobes and Dishes. This issue, his article is on What Happens When You Hit Push to Talk. This is part one of a two-part series on just how moving electrons in a piece of wire create an electromagnetic wave. Indubitably, it has equations, but as George points out, it's high school level mathematics. James Clerk Maxwell gets a mention, but there's no sign of his curly equations. George says that, even if you don't have the high school maths, you may find it useful to skip over the bits you don't understand and hopefully still gain some insights. For those keen on the complexities of chasing DX and hunting a contact with the latest DXCC country entity, this issue we have published the 2024 DX leaderboard. All grades. Well, the top 30 stations out of 107 entries. See who's who on the ladder and what rig they used. Who is the high-scoring home brewer in there? Rounding out the theme, for the do-it-yourself readers handy with hardware tools, we have a simple two-band antenna for 10 and 12 metres, put together from repurposed TV antenna parts and some hardware store aluminium tubing. It also involves winding a toroid choke for the feed point. Under the banner of Your WAA Working For You, this issue we give readers some insights on the Institute's formal response to the recent omnibus consultation paper from the Australian Communications and Media Authority concerning its 5-year spectrum outlook and its 2025-26 work program, also known as the FISO. The WIA Spectrum Strategy Committee developed a response, which it titled Strengthening the Future of Amateur Radio in Australia. The submission sets out 6 key areas that the WIA seeks to be addressed over the coming year, including a number of outstanding class license issues, call signs, planning for high power, exams, repeaters and beacons, and critical spectrum issues concerning the 5 MHz allocation, and preserving the bands at 51 to 52 megs and 2300 to 2302 megs. That's it for now, listeners. Hopefully, I'll have more for you next week. Don't forget, there's always much, much, much more in every edition of Amateur Radio Magazine. More guts, less gab. serving Australian amateur radio operators since 1933. Proudly produced and printed in Australia. I'm Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH, for VK1WIA News.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's national news service. We are VK1WIA. Now with international news, Jason, VK2LAW.
Hello. International news is with thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, ARRL, DX World, EHAM, Hackaday, IARU, ICQ Podcast, IRTS, Newsline, NZART, RAC, RadioWorld.com, RSGB, SARL, and the worldwide sources of the WIA. First up, Dayton Hamvention 2025 returned last weekend to the Green County Fair and Expo Centre, where tens of thousands of amateur radio enthusiasts gathered. This year's theme was Radio Independence, celebrating the freedom and resilience that have always defined amateur radio. Hamvention goes back to the early 50s. From the earliest spark transmissions to today's global digital modes, ham radio has pushed boundaries in innovation, service and community. If you don't know anything about amateur radio, there's more to amateur radio than most people realise, said Michael Coulter, Hamvention spokesperson. We respect our frequencies that we're allotted. We want to keep those frequencies. We want to continue to use them, as do other amateur radio operators throughout the world. And there's a whole lot of new activities that are going on with amateur radio. Some travelled from around the world to be there. 16 different countries were represented there, with more than 600 volunteers helping to make the event run smoothly. They call it a labour of love in enjoying the show, learning something new and making new friends. Amateur radio exam in Bangladesh sees an unprecedented turnout, with more than 900 participants taking part in the examination organised by the Bangladesh Telecommunication Regulatory Commission, BTRC. This historic event took place in Dhaka and witnessed amateur radio enthusiasts from diverse regions across Bangladesh coming together with a shared passion for radio communication. The Amateur Radio Society of Bangladesh said on its website that this remarkable figure represents the highest number of participants ever recorded for an amateur radio exam in Bangladesh's history. Weeks of preparation had gone into preparing candidates for the exam by offering online seminars as well as in-person training and workshops. There was also a field day, as well as classes in basic electronics and antenna building. The Amateur Radio Society said that there was great support from the Bangladesh Vespa community, a community service group of motorised scooter enthusiasts, many of whom also took the exam, which was organised by the Bangladesh Telecommunication Regulatory Commission. The Amateur Radio Society of Bangladesh, ARSB, has played an instrumental role in promoting amateur radio activities, contributing significantly to this surge in interest. ARSB has been instrumental in fostering the amateur radio community by hosting a variety of events since 2018, and ARSB is a government-registered organisation in Bangladesh. IARU Monitoring System Region 1 Newsletter. The April edition of the IARU Monitoring System Region 1 Newsletter is available for download. It starts with information regarding a proposal submitted to the IARU Administrative Council to revise the terms of reference of the IARU monitoring system. Contained within the text is a proposal to rename the working group to the IARU Intruder Watch Service and expand the group's scope to include frequencies allocated to amateur satellites. You can learn more about the proposal and see what intruder signals were reported for April in the free newsletter at iaru-r1.org. A long-time pirate radio operator in South Florida has agreed to stop broadcasting and pay an $11,000 penalty to the U.S. Treasury through a 20-year consent decree. Wilfred Salomon was found to be operating Radio Ideal, an unlicensed FM station, targeting the Haitian community, Miami field agents visited locations from which Salomon broadcast in 2017, 2018 and 2023. Salomon agreed to a penalty of $11,000 paid in $500 monthly instalments. He will face an additional penalty of approximately $347,000 if he violates the decree during the 20-year consent period by committing another pirate radio offence or missing a payment. Going sold. The Society of Broadcast Engineers auction of the remaining elements that were a part of the Alfred antenna atop of the Empire State Building raised $7,549 for its engineer scholarship fund. Bud Williamson, the chair of the New York City-based SBE Chapter 15, said that the auction of the antenna bays was a success. The auction was conducted in the second half of April. All proceeds will go to the SBE Ennis Educational Foundation Trust. The winning bidders are in the process of either picking up or arranging shipment of their prizes now, and all bays have been paid for, Williamson said. Each element weighs approximately 100 pounds. For WIA National News, in Sydney, I'm Jason, VK2LAW.
We are VK1WIA. Now, operational news with VK4FUQ, Felix.
Hello there. Contest wise 2025, now on. CQ WPX contest, CW May 24-25. Start at 0000 hours UTC Saturday, ending 23:59 hours UTC Sunday. Then in June, VK Shires contest, 7th and 8th June. NZ Strait Key Night. Sunday 8 June from 0800 hours to 0900 hours UTC on 80 metres. VHF UHF field days, Saturday 21 June through Sunday 22 June. The overriding aim is to get away for the weekend and have fun. To encourage more activity on VHF, UHF and microwave bands. To encourage people to work greater distances than usual by operating portable. And to provide opportunities for people to activate or work into new grid squares. The 24-hour IAAUHF World Championship starts at 1200 hours UTC on Saturday 12 July and ends at 1159 hours UTC on Sunday 13 July. The Trans-Tasman Contest, held on the third weekend in July, aims to encourage low-band activity between VK and ZL. Only contest bands 160, 80 and 40 are allowed with SSB, CW and Digital, RIDI or PSK. YOTA Contest 2025. The next two sessions of this year's YOTA contest will be held 19 July, 29 December. RSGB YOTA contest, July 26 to July 27. Remembrance Day contest, 16th and 17th August. Now the DX window to the world. Listen for OT25 EPIC, EPIC, a special call sign of the Antwerp Port Contest Club, which is on the air to promote this year's edition of the Antwerp Port EPIC Cycling Race. The call sign will be on the air now until the 9th of June, which is the day of the race. QSL via ON8JJ. ZL100 IAAU is the special call sign for New Zealand's IAAU Member Society, NZART, to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the International Amateur Radio Union. From May 1 to 31 July, QSOs will be uploaded to both QRZ Logbook and LOTW. Special event station GB0SAR, GB0 Search and Rescue, is active until the 30th of May to support SOS Radio Week. This station is mostly working FT4 on the 20-meter band, but you might also catch it on the other HF bands using phone. 8K3 EXPO is on the air until October 13, 1.8 MHz to 10 GHz. This event marks the first time a call sign has been established with the 8K prefix, and draws attention to the Osaka World Expo. For WIA National News, I'm Felix VK, 4FUQ, Inningham.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now, special interest group news with VK3GTV, Cole.
Hello, first up in worldwide special interest group news this week, it's astronomy. Think of them as the dynamic duo of the universe. No, they're not caped crusaders, but a red dwarf star and a white dwarf, a dead star. Together, they've been sending a steady radio pulse every 2 hours for at least 10 years. Scientists have heard their transmissions, but until recently, no one knew the source of the sounds, which appeared to emanate from the direction of the Big Dipper. Recently, the signals were found to come from a binary system, two stars, that send a pulse by repeated contact between their magnetic fields. Researchers cracked the mystery with the help of a low-frequency array radio telescope. The discovery debunks the long-held belief that only highly magnetized neutron stars, known as magnetars, can emit such pulses. This challenge to the old way of thinking opens up the chance to explore other mysteries and binary systems. Worldwide Special Interest Group News, Summits on the Air and Other Adventure Groups. Bob, K0NR, and Joyce, K0JJW, will be active as KH8/K0NR and KH8/K0JJW from American Samoa from the 27th of May to the 9th of June. Their primary objective is activating SOTA summits using 20 metres through to 10 metres on SSB, FT8 and FT4, with 10 watts into wire antennas. They also plan to do some POTA activations as well. QSL via LOTW only. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Balloons. It was a clear day. Members of St. Pius High School Amateur Radio Club watched their hard work float away, deliberately. They'd launched a Pico balloon from the school's football field. The balloon with the transmitter dangling was watched by around 30 students. The balloon, made of mylar and filled with hydrogen, was released into the sky with the expectation that students would track it on a website as it circled the Earth at an altitude of about 40,000 feet. Travis Few, a Midwest high-altitude balloon team flight lead, who's helped St. Pius Club with the balloon project since late January, said Pico balloons can circle the Earth in about 4 to 5 days and may remain in the air for more than a month. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Faith. If you were lucky enough to work HV5PUL, transmitting from Rome recently, you were part of this small university-based station's celebration that a new pope had been chosen. 2 days after the conclave of cardinals had elected Pope Leo XIV, amateur radio station HV5PUL, the Pontifical Lateran University, was on the air in the Vatican City State in the heart of Rome, celebrating. The station's administrator, Luca Della Giovampaola, IW0DJB, reported that traffic was very lively on 20 metres SSB and 17 metres FT8. He said that the simple 100-watt station logged an estimated 400 contacts in 4 hours. Propagation was challenging, and so, with the exception of one Japanese station, all the contacts were within Europe. It's not often a new pope is chosen, nor that HV5PUL is put on the air. The call sign is active mainly on Saturdays in connection with special occasions, such as the opening day of the university's academic year, and, of course, the selection of a new pope. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Final Frontier. Amazon's new broadband internet constellation project has moved ahead with its first liftoff. Yes, the broadband internet constellation, known as Project Kuiper, is on its way at last, following the launch on Monday, April 28th, of its first 27 satellites from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station in Florida. Amazon envisions its long-anticipated $10 billion US project as a direct challenge to the massive SpaceX Starlink network, which dominates the market. Ultimately, Project Kuiper will send 3,236 satellites into low-Earth orbit, making its global broadband service accessible to rural and underserved regions. A mandate by the U.S. Federal Communications Commission requires Amazon to deploy 1,618, or half of its satellites, by the middle of 2026. Analysts speculate that the company may seek an extension on that date as a result of the delays. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Internet, the Ham's Domain. We occasionally have been taken to task when reminding listeners and viewers to visit wia.org.au for the text edition. You should be saying www.wia.org.au, some say. Wrong, we say. And in any case, most browsers have taken a stance against the significance of the www. Chrome, Safari and Firefox all hide the prefix, even when you are technically visiting a website that does still use the www.subdomain, like http://www.wia.org.au. You can try it yourself in Firefox. Head over to a www.site and watch as the prefix disappears or part fades to grey from the taskbar. The www prefix stands as a reminder that the internet is a living, evolving thing. Over time, technical necessities become conventions. Conventions become habits. Habits eventually fade away when they no longer serve a purpose. Yet we still see those three letters pop up on the web now and then, a digital vestigial organ from the early days of the web. The next time you mindlessly type a URL without those three W's, spare a thought for this small piece of internet history that shaped how we access information for decades, largely gone but not yet quite forgotten. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Maritime. Michael, VK2HFN, recently went maritime mobile on the Carnival Splendor along the east coast of VK2 and VK4. With permission, VK2HFN picked a spot near the aft of the ship, well away from the ship's antennas and navigational equipment. He was able to make many contacts along the coast through several repeaters. The longest distance was nearly 180 kilometres through VK2RCH, Coffs Harbour. This was done on his VX6, transmitting with only 1 watt. Once operating, Michael was never bothered while operating his radio and enjoying this great hobby. If anyone's thinking of going on a cruise, the Carnival Splendor is ham radio friendly, according to Michael. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Military. It's been 50 years since the end of the Vietnam War, and a great video has surfaced on the Military HF Radio YouTube channel. This talk has a particular focus on the Vietnam conflict, the use of HF all that time, as well as training required, and of course, the challenges of military bureaucracy. Wednesday was lecture night at the Manly Warringah Radio Society. The topic, Spy Radio, the Special Operations Executive and Deception, presented by Colin Christie, VK2JCC. It delved into the vital role of covert communications during World War II, focusing on the use of spy radios by the French Resistance. These radios were essential in transmitting critical information to Allied forces, often under life-threatening conditions. SOE, the Special Operations Executive, a secret British organisation, played a crucial role in coordinating these efforts, training agents in espionage, sabotage, and the use of encrypted communication. The presentation also explored the deceptive tactics employed to mislead the enemy, including misinformation campaigns and fake radio transmissions, all which helped confuse and disorient German forces. Most enthusiasts would be well aware of the annual military radio nets that take place on Saturday at Hamvention in the USA. The 3885 World War II net featured everything from BC611 to SCR284, GRC9, etc. The 51.0 Cold War net had radios like the PRC-6, PRC-10, RT-70, PRC-25 and 77, with a good representation of older sets from the BC-1000 to newer Singers sets. They had at Hamvention a good showing of German, Russian and captured Iraqi radios. The Czech RF-10 was another popular radio. And that's the latest Worldwide Special Interest Group news. I'm Cole, VK3GTV.
It's a date. And as always, we remind you, clubs are welcome to email text along with audio for this section. You email them nationalnews@wia.org.au. Now, first on the 2025 social scene, and it does need you to do some work first. I'd suggest you check before heading out to this event to make sure it is still happening, what with the bad weather and flooding in the area this week. In VK2, it's the Oxley Region Amateur Radio Club's 49th annual Field Day weekend, Warhope Showground, June 7 and 8, and also June 7 and 8 in Mount Gambier, the CERG Convention and Fox Hunting Championship. ALARA, the 50th anniversary, will be held Glen Waverley, July 26. ARIGS, Amateur Radio and Electronic Sale, Sunday, October 26 at Kilbourne. The Gold Coast Amateur Radio Society's 2025 Hamfest, November 9. Rosebud Radio Fest, Eastbourne Primary School at Rosebud, November 16. And in Darwin, it's the Dark Christmas Party, December 3. Now till next we meet, I am Graham, I am VK4BB, and walk softly.
From Australia, this has been the Wireless Institute of Australia with the weekly news service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.